This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, right. Firstly, hi everyone. How's everyone today? Thanks for coming along to my seminar. Thanks for having me at the show this weekend. It's an honour to be here. What I'd like to do is to show you a number of videos, a number of photos, kind of where we started off, where we've come to, talk to you a bit about Full Throttle, which you see on the floor here at the moment, a little bit about Alien as well, which I'm sure you know is our second game. And then, of course, if anybody has any questions, I also have a few things to give away as well to you for thanking you to come along to my talk. And so if you've got anything you want to talk about at all, please ask me later. And so what I'd also like to do is... Good afternoon, Jim. Jim Schellberg over there from Pin Game Journal. What I'd also like to do is... We have, do you all know about Alien Pinball in the pipeline? I was going to show people individually the video, but because we're a small band here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the video to you all. Just ask you please not to, this will be later on in the presentation, maybe at the end, just ask you please not to use any kind of recording equipment or videos. As I've spoken about publicly before, it's a sensitive license because I'm not going to talk about any specifics, but there was our... licensor 20th Century Fox, who of course owns the rights to the Alien films. There was almost another pinball license, and it's a little bit another pinball game of another film, and it didn't come about. There was never really a license there, and they're just a little bit sensitive about what it is and isn't in the public domain. And the other thing you have to think about as well is that Alien is still a very relevant title today. You know, obviously with Prometheus a couple of years ago, and you've got Alien, the next Alien movie coming out next year, or Alien Prometheus movie next year. So it's still a very relevant and current license for them. So their basic stance is they've allowed me or allowing me to show you various elements of the game now, but the composition cannot be in the public domain. What it means is I can show you all, but obviously it can't be videoed. So apologies for that, but at least you guys get to see it anyway. So I'll start off and say we've got a mixture of photos and videos and a bit of news I can talk to you about as well. So with that in mind, I'll get going. This is just a bit of an update, just to show you a little bit about what we've been doing in our factory the last year or so. So where did we all start? Where did the company start? Essentially, it was 5 years ago from the garage at my house in not-so-sunny Wales. So we started off from the garage. Here we can see... I was a pinball dealer before I started a pinball manufacturing company, and as you see, there's fishtails in the background there. And here we are, just starting on the very first whitewood, which was originally... does anybody here, can they tell me what the name, what Full Throttle was before it became Full Throttle? Can anybody tell me that? Circe's Animal House. It was a Greek mythological theme, which we basically changed for you guys because we were told that it would be much better to have something like a more recognisable theme sort of globally, because this goes out globally. You know, we want to sell our products globally. We needed to make sure that we had a theme which was recognisable to everybody, hence it became a motorcycle racing theme, which wasn't very difficult really to do because it was such a fast game anyway. It kind of married very well with the theme and the flow of the table. So it transferred from the garage onto my dining room table at the time. Then we went into a factory in Cyfarthfa Industrial Estate in Merthyr Tydfil in Wales. This was Unit 9. Then we moved across the road to Units 3 and 4. And we've now finished up at our permanent home, which is about 10 miles down the road, a place called Ebervale. It's a much nicer factory. We got lots of space there to make as many pinball machines as we want, very good office space, and a much better ambience. It's a much newer building. It's just been completely refurbished. Much better for a pinball company that has a much more developed product, if you like, than our old building. So here we see the production line actually just being set up in the new factory. It's still a bit of a mess because we've been spending the last 3 weeks. It actually only finished last Friday, our move. So, but we've already started building machines again, as you can see. Playfield's back on the production line there. Our printer. This was nothing short of a living nightmare to move, this printer. Because it's too wide for most doors, even double doors, and you've got to take the whole thing apart. Canon, the manufacturers, have to do it. It's just a nightmare. See, these are the original four prototype games. And we've invested in a lot of equipment at our factory over the last couple of years to be able to enable us to be able to do more and more procedures in-house, which means that we can keep a much better check on quality, and it also means that we can keep the cost down of what it is that we're manufacturing. Because we're, you know, to remain competitive in the marketplace, we've got to make sure our prices are competitive. So here you see two injection molding machines, and what these basically do, if you think of things like plastic flipper bats or plastic posts. This equipment here will allow us to make all of these in massive quantities and at a fraction of the price as if we were buying it from normal suppliers. This is a CNC routing machine, so it means that we can cut out all our plastics. We can cut from big plastic sheets, we can cut out playfields, and we've already done this. We can actually cut playfields from here, then we can go and print them, sand them, and do the whole process in-house. We're not actually doing it all in-house at the moment because we're using a playfield partner, Merco in Germany, for our playfields, but most other things we're using this equipment for at the moment. And here is the printer. Actually, this was as it was being delivered. This is sort of a $140,000 printer from Canon, prints in CMYK. And on this, we print all of our plastics on this, so the side plastic panels, the back glass panel, and the plastic sets as well. So we're doing all that in-house. Even the banners that you see on our stand at the moment, we printed those ourselves, promotional material. We can do all of that with this printer. It really was an amazing investment. Here actually, we see playfields that we were printing before. Here are sanders. Sorry about this, picture quality keeps... I'll try to be more gentle with the keyboard here. So these are sanders here then to basically sand playfields down. This is a giant lacquering and painting machine, which means that we can apply a clear coat lacquer onto the playfields and do all of that in-house as well. If I don't move, the fixture doesn't move. I'll try to... Okay, this is one of our more recent purchases, a laser cutting machine. So on here, we actually cut out the playfield plastics. We cut out a range of things. And again, this is another must-have tool for us. One of the great things about having equipment like this is that when you're building new games or prototyping, you want to try something different, then you can, in an hour or two, you can have new parts there ready to go, ready to put onto your playfields. Whereas if you're using suppliers to cut things, to print things, you know, imagine that. You have to have something cut by somebody, have something printed by somebody. It could be 2 weeks before you get a prototype back, part back. We can do it, get it done within the hour. This is, again, one of our newest bits of equipment here, this large part at the back. This is, in fact, I'll ask you, does anybody have any idea what this piece of equipment might do? I'm sorry? Yes, absolutely. And what about the bit at the blue, the blue bit of equipment behind it? Anybody? No. What this is what's called a vacuum press or a vacuum foil press. So basically, think about your kitchen. In your kitchen, all the panels, you know, in all of the kitchen panels there. It's basically MDF wood or a type of wood, and then it has like a coating on the top of it. And what that is, it's like a foil. So you have the base MDF or wood, then you put the foil on top of it. And what this does is this heats it up to a certain temperature, creates a vacuum and sucks it down onto the panel to give you that kitchen panel. So all the panels that you see on our games outside, and you'll notice it's like a black matte material on it. Well, we also make that in a gloss black for our LEs and also a gloss red for our LEs. Alien will be different as well. So we can basically change the outer decor, the outer... like the texture, the colours, everything we can change ourselves. So at some point in the future, we'll actually go truly custom and we will be able to facilitate requests. For example, you might have a lot of oak or teak in your room and you might want this to blend in, so we could give you a cabinet which has that sort of oak or teak effect. So we can do all of this in-house now. Now, of course, full throttle.
Do you think you can beat me? Don't make me laugh.
There we go. Funny enough, that theme music that you're listening to there is King of the Mountain, which is actually... Are there any motorcycle racing enthusiasts in the room? The Isle of Man TT races, which are actually on at the moment. That's actually the theme for all of the official broadcast coverage, King of the Mountain. So it's quite a coup to get this band. And this band is called Redline, and they're sort of a real up-and-coming metal band over in the UK and really have a good following. So that's their music features exclusively on our game. Now, we're trying a few different things at Highway Pinball. One of these is you'll see that we've got like a sort of a polished chrome version of the game, which has proved to be very popular, and we're starting to get more and more orders. It's quite difficult to actually do this, but yeah, we will offer polished chrome as an option on our future games. You can see the level of finish. And something else that we brought in recently for the LEs is, of course, the fibre optic ramp wiring that we do, which obviously changes colours. This just shows you. We're huge fans of fibre optic wiring lighting, so it's something that we intend to bring into to our future games as well. And it's certainly something that we'll be featuring on Alien. This just shows you how we package games in containers. In actual fact, even though I'm showing you this, we don't actually ship any games out in containers at the moment because we get such great air shipping rates these days that we're just shipping door-to-door in many cases to most of our customers. We recently had ITV, our national broadcaster, come and do a big feature on us. And here we show, just shows you the parts store, parts sub-assembly, cabinets arriving. Cabinets on the production line. You'll see there that it's like the base wood, which is this is a ply carcass, so it's a quality ply carcass on the inside of the machine, so it's sort of rock solid, and then we foil wrap the outer panels, as I said before, and they just bolt onto the outside. And the great thing about having a system like that is, I mean, I'm sure we've all seen, we've got our favourite games, and you get you buy a Terminator 2 from back in the day, and it's got I Love My Mum, scrawled into the side, and there's not a lot you can do about it, unfortunately. But with this in mind, we put this system in, so if a panel ever gets damaged, you can just take the panel off and replace it with a brand new one, and it's easy to replace or refresh games that way. One of the things we've done on our games is we've really minimised the amount of wiring in our games. Traditionally, you'd have about 800 metres of wiring in a game, and we've brought ours down to about 50 metres of wiring, which means, and there's no soldering in the game either, which means a lot of it is just sort of plug and fit connectors. So it means maintenance of games is much easier out in the field. We've really tried to factor this in for operators because the technical expertise level of operators is not what it was back in the 90s when they could fix the likes of Adam's Families and Terminator 2s. Now you find that the tech level is much lower. So bearing that in mind, we've tried to create a game here which is very modular by nature. So it means if you need to change a flipper mechanism, for example, you just undo four screws, unplug the whole thing, and the whole thing just drops straight out through. You'll notice, if you have a look on Full Throttles out on the floor there, underneath the flipper bats is like a nylon infill section, which means the whole thing can drop out. You don't have to fix, adjust, take apart flipper mechanisms on route anymore. You can just take them apart, put in a spare one, and you're up and running again in minutes. Thanks. Yeah, I it's not pleasant, is it? Being in a dark nightclub with music pumping, you can't see what you're doing, and you're trying to get those little wing nuts on the back of the flipper plate mechanism. It's not much fun. Well, thank you. It's the same. The modularity extends to our PCBs and everything as well. We have like this I/O board, and I can, if you want to see, by all means, come to my the stand later on, and I can show you. But each of these little I/O boards. In fact, you can see them on here. You see the sort of the big black boards and the little green boards sitting on top of them. That's a sort of the heartbeat of our game, the I/O board, and it took us about 2.5 years to develop this. And each one of those will control eight solenoids, 24 switches, and 100 LEDs. And they're upscalable, so you want to have a Twilight Zone complexity game, you just put another one or two I/O boards on there. So it's infinitely expandable. And this becomes a standard part because it's a small part. It's a relatively cheap part. We're looking to, I believe, probably less than $100 for a replacement I/O board on the market. Box games. These were some of our very first games boxed to send out. In fact, they are 001. That was a team just involved in the building of the first couple of games. And, of course, we started off with Bacardi Raffle Ball. As I said, it took us 4.5 years really to develop Full Throttle and our platform to where it is now. But we got a call about 3 years ago, and it was from a representative of Bacardi, the biggest privately owned drinks company in the world. And they wanted a promotional tool that they could basically take to individual bars 1 hour at a time in a city and do a promotion where people would win, do a head-to-head game and win all kinds of prizes. And the irony was that here we were trying to make the most technologically advanced pinball machine ever made, and our first job was a reimagining of a 1930s pinball game called Baffle Ball. But it was a huge success. We designed, built, and delivered 251 games in 4.5 months. Bacardi's own procurement department were quoting like 9.5 months to get this done. So we did it on time, on budget, and most importantly, the global CEO of Bacardi loved it, and it was a huge success as part of, I believe it was a $2 billion global campaign from Bacardi. And it's funny, even though it was like a reimagining of a 1930s game, we were still using like cutting-edge technologies, things like reverse art printing, which is really quite complicated. I'll just tell you this in a nutshell because I find it quite interesting. Well, it wasn't. It was very stressful at the time. In that this starts off, this plastic playfield starts off as a flat plastic sheet. And then what you have to do is you have to print on that plastic sheet, but it's distorted. So you print on it and it just looks a mess. But then when you heat this plastic, which is part of the whole vacuum forming process, then it actually distorts into a proper image. And if you look at it, it's really hard to do because you have like circular lines. And try doing that, you know, doing something, you know, rough and then stretching, trying to stretch it so it's coherent. I mean, God knows how many prototypes we went through to try to get this right. And then the other thing was as well is we lit this, and it had to be lit with Bacardi Red. And when you stretch plastic, stretch red, it becomes pink. So it became a Bacardi pink, which they weren't overly happy with. So we had to like do like six layers of red print just to get the Bacardi red there. So it was, it might look easy, but there were a lot of there was a lot went into this. Real solid oaks, so no veneer. Throughout the last sort of 4.5 years, we regularly get many visitors coming to the factory or visiting us shows. I'm sure we probably have hundreds of people we could show you here, but we've just got a few people, a few highlights to show of some very, very famous people playing Full Throttle. At the start here, we have our very own Mr. Pinball News, Martin Ayab at the front, who really does an amazing job, as I'm sure you'll all agree. Here we have John Popajuk. Then, of course, we have Roger Sharp. And Highway Pinball, one of our game designers, Barry Ausler, of course. I'm not sure who that gentleman is. So one of the things we're trying to do at Highway is we're trying to find, you know, new ways, better ways to be able to help the community, help the operators out there. And we feel that rather than having a pinball manual to go out that you have to, you know how to read manuals in order to be able to get to what you need to be able to do, we actually think that it's better almost to show people by a video. And so we're starting to build up a sort of a resource online for our customers to show you all the most basic things, everything from unboxing a machine to calibrating Francisco Valentino. And this is just a little tutorial vid that we've done here just to show you how easy it can be when you just have a short video to show you how to do something.
To calibrate the Valentino toy on our Full Throttle table, press enter to access the service menu. Scroll down and select tests using the navigation buttons. Then scroll down and select Valentino motor from the submenu. Using the plus and minus navigation buttons, adjust the Valentino toy until it faces forward towards you. Now press the start button. The toy will perform two rotations and finish facing in the calibrated position. Exit the service menu and the calibration is now complete.
So as you see, it really is as easy as that. And I'm sure any of you who have your own games or operating games and you have to do something like that, I think it's far easier to be able to sit down and watch a quick 20-second video. Oh, that's how I do it, rather than having to try to trawl through the manual and get to the same point. So this is something we think makes people's lives easier. So we showed this video at Texas. I thought I'd show it again to you now. A very talented member who's joined our team.
Texas Pinball Festival.
Ignore that part.
I'm David Thiel, an audio guy that's created sounds for 24 manufactured pinball machines starting in 1983 with Qubert's Quest. Now, I want to tell you how excited I am about working with Highway Pinball and the great team that Andrew has assembled, both in Wales and the U.S., to bring you a cutting-edge pin based on a fantastic license this year. The Highway Pinball system has great audio support, and the sound effects, music, and call-outs that I'm assembling for the Alien Pinball are going to take it to a new level of fun and immersion. Trust me. Everybody on Team Alien is working hard to make Alien a great game to flip and enjoy for a long time. Have a great show.
So, of course, this brings us on naturally then to Alien Pinball. This was a very early Whitewood gameplay, and when you see where we're at now in a minute when I show you, you'll see it's coming a long way. This was back in Christmas last year. So just show you a few, these are old blueprints now, but it actually shows you a little bit still about where some of the toys are placed. You see the in the top left, it looks like the Queen is like giving everybody the finger. She's not. But she rotates and is revealed at various parts in the game. Then you have the Xenomorph mechanism where the jaw opens on the Xenomorph mechanism, reaches out, grabs and eats the ball and brings it back into its jaw. So basically eats the pinball. And of course, as we were talking about the Queen. And now, of course, the real Queen. So, you know, we've gone down the route with our models here to make it really, you know, proper handcrafted toys here, you know, so everything here, so we try to go down to the most minute detail with all of the models, and you see this is the Queen. In actual fact, this Queen was originally, or the Queen was originally rejected by Fox, simply because they wanted to have the little hands, you know, underneath. So this is actually the latest one you see with the extra pair of hands. As I'm sure you can see, there is quite a high level of detail here. These are the jumping face huggers that sit on top of the slingshots. And they're positioned in such a way that when the slingshot activates, it's like the face hugger is jumping down to try to grab the ball. You're seeing a number of different various colour schemes here. And of course, a family of face huggers. You see the various different colours there. So we have the pinball cabinet. Then we have the Translite for the standard edition version of the game. And the side art. So that really concludes this part of the presentation. So what I'm going to do now then, is, as I promised, is I'm going to show you our promo video. Does anyone want the volume cranked up a little bit for this? Or is that level good? Maybe just a little bit. So again, please, if you could refrain from... If you could put all sort of smartphones away, please, just for this presentation, please, if you wouldn't mind. Mr. Shellberg, sir. Okay, right, so here we go. So what I'm about to show you now, this is already 2 months old as a promo. The software is at a level that's about 90% complete on Alien at the moment. We don't show you any of the working toys in this at the moment, because when we shot this 2 months ago, the toys were still in development. As in, the models were all done, the mechanics were done, but we were fusing the two together, so the toys aren't shown on this. But what this shows you is the sort of the direction that the game is travelling in, gives you, let's say, a taste of what to expect from the game. Okay, there we go. So everyone, thank you very much. So thank you very much. That sort of concludes my presentation, and I'm free here to answer any questions that you might have. Okay. Little sir there.
Oh. How did you do it? And then there was Alien. How
did we do it? That's a very good question. I mean, with any game, really, you're starting about... normally about anything between 9 months and a year before you would expect to release it. So Alien has been in development for a long time. In actual fact, we have another three other games in development right now. Two of them are at a Whitewood stage already. So it's a lot of preparation and work, and you might think, well, why not just concentrate on getting one game out first? And that would be a valid question. But you know, with our system, we want to, once we had that stability from the hardware and the software point of view, we needed to be able to release 2 to 3 games every year. And of course, we haven't achieved that at this point now. But we, you know, we've achieved the reliability that we want to have with the game, we believe. And so everything is now in catch-up mode, if you like. So Alien, as it stands now, as I said, it's been in development for a long time, but we really are working flat out on it now to get it finished up. So we believe that we can have a finished game middle to end of August and look to have it on the production line about a sort of a month later than that. So that's our current goal and target. I mean, as you can see, the game is playable. You know, pretty much I think 2/3 of the modes on our prototype at the moment are all playable. So it's all about tweaking now, finishing off the, well, it's mainly the multi-ball modes and the wizard modes, and then we have a fully playable game. But modes are fully playable with fully programmed rules at this point.
So. Two things. One about the game. The lower left where it drains goes to it, where it appears to be outlaying beyond the flippers. How does that incorporate? I didn't see a way for that to help yourself. I mean, it's just like, it's like a big wide drain. So
yes, I mean, at that point, the ball drains, and it will give you two options, basically, depending on where the ball drains. So it will be an option to bring the ball back into play, like, say, a ball saver, or it might give you an extra ball, or it might give you a special. So that part of it actually isn't clearly defined, because that used to be a sort of a space jockey area down there, and there was going to be a molded version of the space jockey. But the problem was, as you'll all know, with the pinball machine at the front, you have very little height to play with compared to the back, and we just couldn't get the, you know, the turret of the space jockey to be able to fit in there any cohesively without it being almost horizontal. So it just looked, it looks stupid trying to get it moulded in there. So the at the moment the space jockey appears somewhere else on the play field, and so that at the moment is just a sort of a two choice drain.
So do you anticipate when you launch it and say, okay, we've got units for sale, we have the kit available also for those that are already on full throttle, or would that?
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, that's, it's different almost from the LE, because the LE sometimes takes a little bit longer because you have the extra features and so on there. I mean, for example, one of the reasons it took us an extra couple of months to get the LEs, the full throttle LEs, onto the production line is because we had to develop the controlling software for the fiber optics and for the shaker motor at that point then. So although the standard edition of the game was ready, the limited edition still needed a little bit of work doing to it. Whereas the other side of it is, for full throttle kits, it's actually very easy, because once you've got games or on the production line, sorry, playfields on the production line, you can pull them off either to go into a full game or box them and create them to go off as an upgrade kit. So we don't foresee there being any delays, really. We'll be able to send out kits to full throttle customers. Mark?
The multi-ball, 3, 4, 5...
I believe at the moment there's 4 multi-balls with a wizard. We've got a wizard mode as well for completing all modes, which I think is also a multi-ball. And we've also had talk about maybe putting in one extra multi-ball maybe in each chain. So I think there's a minimum at the moment of 5 multi-balls, but there could be a couple more.
And then you said when she comes down, mm-hmm. will it be a magnet hole, kind of like it?
You mean for the Xenomorph eating the head? Yeah, absolutely, yes. There's a magnet in front of the Xenomorph head there. So the ball is held there, jaw opens, mouth comes down, grabs the ball, back into the head, mouth shuts, ball disappears.
And that's obviously after you do a couple shots to activate the magnets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously it's only activated in certain modes, but so it's not something that will be happening all the time. You know, we want to save some of the best tricks. We want to limit the usage, show it in reasonable proportions.
So it is so you do install 5 balls into the game then? Is that what it is?
No, I believe it'll be 6. Yeah, I think as a general rule, unless we're going to do, we have one game in development which uses more balls than that. So I can't see that we'll be having less than 6 balls. So.
LE artwork?
Still not done yet at this point. We're concentrating on other things, first of all. We're happy. We're just doing some tweaks at the moment now to the playfield, because with the final change is what should be the production version of the Alien playfield, which I believe was finished yesterday. Finished today, I believe. So that's going off to be made into a playfield by the end of next week. So we hopefully will have what will be the finished playfields in about probably 2 to 3 weeks' time. Then we build it up, and then those could almost be treated as pre-production versions, because by then, the finished mechanisms should also be ready then, which can then do life cycle testing when it comes in. So, we're in a pretty good place with stuff at the moment. But the to answer your question, the Ellie artwork is one of the last things, and there is a particular reason for that. It's to do with rights for something in particular we want to use on the artwork as well. Plus also our lead artist, Auric from Pinside. I'm sure some of you know of him. He's had a few other things to do recently, but he's looking to get into that in the next couple of weeks again and to do specifically the Alien Ellie artwork. Do anybody else have any questions for me? What was your general... What did you think of the video? Roger? Okay. No, yes, absolutely. There's lots of Bill Paxton in there. There's lots of him in there. I mean, he's
purposely not showing it from the distance, showing the game in profile with all the art.
Possibly, yeah, there might be an element of that. I mean, we were trying to create... I mean, this is still a fast game. The thing is, our platform is inherently a fast platform for pinball anyway, because we don't have microswitches sticking up through the playfield. So even though it's a wide body, it actually plays faster than most standard body games. I've heard some people say it's the fastest game in pinball. This is possibly a slogan we should have used maybe along the way. But, yeah, it's very quick, and Alien is very quick as well, and it's got a lot of flowing shots too. Yes, it's true, of course, you know, some of the toys were missing from the video, so, you know, we had it... We have professional editors within the company, and you know, they edited it so it you know, it looked as cohesive as it is for the parts we wanted to show.
With your new technology, as far as your boards underneath, does it not run like on a switch matrix like normal?
No, not at all. No, we don't use a switch matrix on our game. It's basically switch allocation. So you know, this switch is given this address, if you like, that switch, that address. So there's no, you know, oh my God, I've just lost, you know, the horizontal rows. These resistors have got, you know, it's nothing like that. You know, it's very easy to troubleshoot with switch problems, for example.
So will you get like almost like a credit dot if something goes wrong, or will it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the DNA of our software is Bally Williams software anyway, because you know our lead programmer, who's been with us since really the beginning, Brian Dominey, he originated the FreeWPC software system, which allows you to, you know, basically write your own rules and burn your own ROMs, so you can write your own rules for any WPC games. So that was the base that our software started from. It's not emulation, the software that he'd created, but then it sort of, you know, grew in different directions into something much different, much more different than that. But the DNA is still there. So, you know, you go through our menus, you know, they look and feel very Bally Williams, and that's because that DNA is still there.
Is it like MP3 compatible or at all? If you wanted to play your own music while you're playing, or is there anything like...
I've been asked this a few times as to whether we would ever make what we're doing open source. You know, whether you could do that. I mean, technically, it's absolutely possible to go and do that. You know, every sound is a file name. So if you knew how, if you could access those file names, you could effectively replace it with whatever you wanted. And the same with movie files too. That's the way it works now. So it's possible that could be a route that we go down in the future. It's not something we're actively looking to do right now, but absolutely we'd look into it. Who here has had a chance to play Full Throttle, by the way? Pretty much everybody, okay. General feelings, I'm just curious to know, did you enjoy it? Thumbs up, excellent. I'm sorry? Absolutely. okay. Fast. Yes, thanks. Yeah, it's very quick. It catches you out, some of the shots as well, especially that inner loop shot, you know, the one underneath the right ramp there. It goes so quick there. You know, the easy way to do it, of course, is to hold the flipper up and then you control the better, but it's still quick. That's right, and the challenge is to try to get those multiple looping shots, which you can do. I've never seen anybody do more than three or four of them at any one time, but... Sir?
How can you get so directly aimed? Like, how can you get so good at aiming for something?
Oh, you mean for the different shots? Oh, I see what you mean, yes. Yeah, so how do you... To be honest, it's just practice makes perfect. I know that sounds like a bit of a cliche, but the game is very fast, but it's like I always... think of it as an analogy in my mind, as you know what racing drivers do. You know, when you start off and you race a car, it's insanely quick, and you think, how am I ever going to drive this thing? But your brain automatically adjusts and slows the whole thing down, so you can actually race a car. And it's the same with pinball as well. And when you have an inherently fast game, it sometimes takes a little bit longer to adjust because you've got to try to slow the ball down. But once you get used to it and how the ball flows, then it becomes easier to aim. So I think it's just practice, really, is the best I can say.
I'm a full throttle owner, and I'm just curious, is there an upgrade pack for more versions of full throttle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, most of our efforts and resources at the moment are in Alien at the moment, you know, because we're starting to get close to our end game on this. We put all our resources into that. You know, we feel that we have a stable system on full throttle at the moment. We feel that the rules are stable on it. And so the stability is there at the moment. And so we're not doing a huge amount. That's not to say, in actual fact, we've got a version, software version 1.4 at the moment, which is being tested. And we're looking to send that out to owners shortly. In fact, that should be within the next week, I would say. That has better support, I believe, for the spinning wheels, for the shaker motor, and for the lighting too. And we're also looking to do an upgrade for the fiber optic as well, to make the fiber optic brighter. So yes, there is still development going on there. On the rules side of things, not so much at the moment, but there are some additional things we want to do with the rules there. And there's one quite major thing that we have planned for full throttle in the future. So no, it's not, I would say it's dormant at the moment, things like rules progression, but it is certainly something we'll be coming back to. And if we find, you know, there are some key things that our customers are saying, give us feedback that things need to be changed or they'd like to see changed, by all means, you know, we can do that.
Are you trying to, is it software workaround for some of the issues with the motors, the electrical issues, or when I spoke to
Henry,
you know, he had mentioned something about some mechanical adjustments.
For the spinning wheels? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We're making for the motors because we've tried to use quite robust motors. But you know, when you do anything like this on a pinball machine, you think you've done something, and it has maybe a negative effect further on down, like it pulls too much voltage and so on. And yeah, that happened on our motors. For example, we had one batch of motors, and then we had a better motor we went for, but they behaved slightly differently and created more of a draw on the voltage. And so what was happening was just trying to take too much voltage and then seizing the I/O board, which was the problem that we had. So we fixed that temporarily by putting the capacitor on each of the motors, and that fixed that. But we actually are going to be making a sort of a capacitor board, so it's something that will slot over the lugs, because we don't want to have a dirty fix which requires, you know, soldering. We'd like to have something that slots on top. So that's something that it's not done at the moment yet, because we've just finished off a new fiber optic control board, which is more reliable and brightens the whole lighting. But that's, I think, next on the full throttle list.
So he mentioned to me about the capacitors. In the meantime, I just put a new fuse in.
Okay, fine. We actually had...
it's a bad idea. I'll unplug him away.
No, I don't think so. Another thing that we found as well, and it's stupid things. It's quite interesting that you brought that up, because I guess it just shows, illustrates a point when you're dealing with manufacturers, that we have our I/O boards and a lot of our electronics made over in China. And what actually happened is when they did our latest batch of power boards, and we got those back from China, they had put fast blow fuses in, rather than the slow blow, which is what it should be. And what new customers were finding is they plugged them in and they blow straight away. And they blow straight, the fuse will blow straight away because it's a fast blow rather than a slow blow. Of course, you'd never know that in a million years when you get the boards in, so that would happen. And so we found that out with some customers. As soon as they put the slow blows in, then it was fine. So if yours is working fine, then carry on using it. It's, you know, the worst it's going to do is blow a fuse or blow a motor, and we just send you a new one. So. Cool. Does anybody have any other questions they'd like to ask? Okay, I think what I'm going to do, because I've got a couple of posters here, I'm going to try to think up a couple of trivia things here quickly. Well, first of all, does anybody want an alien flyer? Okay. I think I saw 1, 2, 3 there in the line back there. So if you'd like to, there we are, collect your flyer. I'd normally bring more, but My luggage was like filled with like banners and flyers and tools and everything. So I'm surprised I had space for anything else. To anybody else who hasn't, would anybody else like to have a full throttle flyer? Okay, I'll leave the pile here at the front. By all means, please come and take one there. Wasn't my idea, but you might like to have one anyway. I have a couple of... they have these collection cards, and there's some here of me. You may not want it, you may want it, whatever. There's a few on here if you'd like to have any there. So I'm just going to give away a few... I've just got three posters here. I've got two Full Throttle posters and an Alien poster. What would you like, sir? Well, as this young man is so polite... I'm afraid I'm going to have to give him the Alien poster because he asked so politely. So he's been a great contributor. Please, let's give him a round of applause here. There you go, sir. Okay, so I've got two Full Throttle posters here. Does anyone remember that Full Throttle used to be a previous game and I said what the name... Anybody remember what the name was? That's it, sir. There you go, Full Throttle Flyer. Poster for yourself. There we go. Okay, and one other question then, I think randomly from my head, is how many magnets are there on Full Throttle? Nope. 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 One, yeah. Who said one? I guess you could say technically that's not right because every coil is a magnet, but, you know, as an actual magnet, yes. There you go, sir. Okay, well, unless there's any more questions, I think I'm around all weekend, so please come and... please come in and have a chat with me if you... Oh, some more cards. Fantastic. Thank you.
So I didn't know if he had enough with him, so I brought some more cards.
Fantastic. Thanks. Good to see you. Thanks, Walter. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much for attending. Thank you.